Hey everybody, it's Mo Lucy and it's September 22nd, 2015. And I was just doing some of my work for my class, and I'm in a nutritional epidemiology course, and we're discussing an article about taxes on food products and whether implementing those taxes on so-called unhealthy products, such as soda. Mexico just recently did this. They taxed the soda in an effort to get people to kind of push towards the right food products to be healthier, because a lot of times the costs that are associated with unhealthy eating end up either driving up the health insurance for other people, or if they're on any kind of like government-based health plans, such as in other countries who have, you know, universal health care, it drives up the costs of the overall health care for everybody if people are becoming diabetic and, you know, having other chronic diseases that do cost a lot of money. And so the article took place, I believe, in New Zealand, and they were trying to determine whether implementing taxes on certain products was going to cause people to alter their decisions at the checkout stand, basically. And the article sort of found that people with low socioeconomic status, or those who, you know, have low incomes, tended to go towards the more unhealthy choices. And so therefore, if a tax was implemented, that most of the people that have low income would pay paying the tax. And I sort of agree with that. Like, I agree that, you know, I think there's something that should push people away from buying cheaper options. And here in America, we subsidize corn, which is what's in all of our food. So it's a lot cheaper for people to buy corn products and high fructose corn syrup, which is in, like, soda, and a lot of these products that are being classified as being unhealthy. It's just cheaper to make them because of the subsidies that the government provides the farmers to produce the corn. So if they're basically paying barely anything to produce the corn, then anything that they sell the corn for is going to be a huge profit. And therefore, like, you know, sugary cereals and those kinds of things are going to be less expensive for people. That's just sort of the basis of, you know, what happens here in America. So, and this was, you know, just looking at other countries as well. It wasn't just here. But what I sort of got upset with was my class has a discussion board about the article, and we have to post, you know, our thoughts on the article and all this stuff. And it was just sort of really frustrating to read a lot of the posts, because people were saying that, you know, the reason why people are choosing unhealthy options is because they don't know how to cook, or they just don't have enough time, or they just don't know what is good foods or bad foods, or blah, blah, blah. I mean, there was, like, all the blame was being pushed on these people who don't have a lot of money. And I think that a lot of the people were just unable to really see that they're looking at everything from their own perspective. They're looking at things from their own lives and what they could do in their lives to, you know, implement cheaper foods and stuff like that. And so for a lot of these people, you know, not all, but, I mean, for some of these people, they don't have good housing. I mean, I recently read an article, and it was a guy who was a sociologist, and he spent a lot of time, like several months, living amongst homeless people. I believe it was in Louisiana, and they lived in an old hotel that didn't have a refrigerator or a stove in anybody's room. So he kind of thought the same thing, because there's been this argument that if you receive any type of, you know, food benefit, that you shouldn't buy unhealthy foods, which is probably true. But at the same time, you have to look at the circumstances of the people that are getting these benefits. And for these people, they didn't have anywhere to cook the food, and they didn't have anywhere to preserve the food. They didn't have a refrigerator, and they didn't have a stove, and they didn't have a sink, you know, other than probably what was in their bathrooms. So as far as food preparation goes, they really weren't able to do a lot. And also they were concerned about infestations in the hotels, the rooms. So you wouldn't want to have a lot of food lying around that could rot or something, because then that's going to create infestation. So that's sort of a bigger issue probably to some people than, you know, having fresh food or whatever. So I guess that was just sort of my frustration with my class. I actually had to walk away from it because everybody was just saying, well, it's their fault. It's their fault. The reason why they're buying bad food is their fault. And it's like, maybe there's other variables that could be explaining what's happening here other than just, you know, they just don't want to do it. And, you know, they just don't know. And, like, some people work at restaurants, for example. So say you're, you know, a single mom and you work at McDonald's or something like that. You might decide at the end of the night to bring home food to eat and provide that for your family because you're not getting charged for it. And a lot of people do that versus, you know, buying the food at the store, which is going to be a lot of money. So if you figure you work 5 shifts a week, then you multiply that times 4, that's 20, you know, 20 meals, I guess, that you don't have to pay for. And when somebody's on like a super limited budget as it is, I mean, that could make the difference. And so therefore, you know, you're trying to get food over trying to get you know, healthy, you know, like you're more concerned with getting food at that point than, you know, than the nutritional content of the food. And ultimately, I would love to see everybody eating better and having, you know, just better health and better nutrition and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's why I got into the program that I'm in. But at the same time, I think you have to be able to look at other factors, you know, not only what they're eating, but why they're eating it, you know? And if you don't have anywhere to store your food, or if you don't have electricity, then you don't have a refrigerator, because one person was like, oh, they should just put everything in a crock pot. But if you don't have an electricity, then how can you operate a crock pot or store something in a freezer when you don't have electricity? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I think it's just people just not understanding. And I also brought up the point in there, too, that when you evaluate a grocery store, for example, in a lower income neighborhood, it is vastly different than what you're going to get at a higher income neighborhood. And I've seen this myself. Went to a grocery store in inner city Saginaw, Michigan, and they had like a ton, I mean, just boxes and aisles full of ramen noodle products and, you know, heavily processed foods and cereals and crackers and chips and all these kinds of things. And you know, if you go to the vegetable and fruit area, this stuff was like horrendous stuff you wouldn't want to eat. It's like spoiling and going bad. And then there was an article that I read or something I watched or something about Detroit and how, like, if you went into a Detroit store, it was sort of the same way. The fruit and vegetables were rotting. The meat had, like, green stuff on it. It was disgusting. It's not stuff people would want to eat, so that's why they're choosing, you know, to purchase the more processed foods. And a lot of people, you know, have transportation issues. They can't get to the store that often. You know, there's a multitude of factors that people just aren't considering, and I guess that's just what I was getting sort of upset about, because I think everybody's looking at it from their own perspective. Like, the one girl was like, well, you know, I'm a really busy, you know, working, and, you know, she's married, so her husband's working too, and, you know, so it's like, they probably make probably 80,000